You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Rizdahl. You know, there are days when the economic calendar is your friend, when the news is good and promising and good times lie ahead. And then there is today and tomorrow and Friday, a trifecta, if you will. We learned this morning, as you have surely heard, the private payroll processing company ADP reported 20 million people lost their jobs in April. Tomorrow is going to bring us another report on first-time unemployment claims in the millions, maybe 3 million. And then on Friday, the official and much more detailed government report on April unemployment. And those three data points are going to come to define this economy and the people in it for some time to come. And don't just take my word for it. Melanie Long is an assistant professor of economics at the College of Worcester.
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is the significant variety of situations that these workers who are now jobless are going to find themselves in. There are some households that have set aside rainy day funds that they can draw on, and then there are other households who don't have those savings to fall back on, and we know that that's a pretty significant portion of American households.
So with that as prologue to Texas, we go now where businesses are starting to get back in business, which means people can get back to work. Not, though, as Marketplace's Andy Euler reports from Austin, without some mixed feelings.
Michelle, who lives in Dallas, was furloughed in March from her job as a volunteer coordinator at a nonprofit. We're not using her last name here because she fears reprisal from her employer for speaking out. She was asked to come back to work on April 27th, but she's still at home. She has a 2-year-old, and under the CARES Act, that relief package passed in late March, she's able to take more time off at 2/3 of her salary. She asked for 3 weeks.
But I don't really know what's going to happen at the end of those 3 weeks, if those will be extended. I mean, I know some states are opening things back up, but I don't really like the idea of being a guinea pig.
She says she fears getting sick when she does go back. Michelle figured out a way to extend her benefits, even though she was called back to work. Of course, not everybody has that option.
When you become unemployed, historically, you've had to identify that you are actively seeking employment.
That's Tom Smith. He teaches finance at Emory University.
So if you have work available, you're not really considered unemployed, right? You're making a choice. You typically would be denied unemployment insurance if you have an opportunity to go back to work and you choose not to.
Eventually, unemployment's going to run out and people need to work. But Michelle Evermore with the National Employment Law Project says that's going to put a lot of people in a tough spot.
One can make the argument that going back to work in a COVID environment is no longer suitable, that the working conditions aren't similar to what they were when they worked at the job before.
As for Michelle in Dallas, she's unclear about her work future.
You know, I don't have any volunteers to manage, so I don't really know what things are going to look like when I do go back eventually.
She says even though she was called back last week, she's worried she's eventually going to be laid off. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Staying with jobs here for a second, the latest Marketplace Edison Research poll is out this week. I think I mentioned that yesterday. And among the data points and the crosstabs and the grim drip of news about layoffs and furloughs and pay cuts was this item. Among those who are still employed, more than a third of people have had their hours cut, which follows, I guess, given the way things have been going. But 16% of people who are still working are working more hours. From the Workplace Culture Desk, Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has that one.
I reached electrician Mike Cargill while he was out on a job in Houston, Texas.
Right now, we are swapping an electrical panel inside somebody's house that was beginning to overheat.
Home electricity usage has surged during the lockdown, and so has his pay.
Because people are at home, you know, watching TV or plugging their laptop in different areas to work from home and realizing, oh my goodness, this plug doesn't work.
Meanwhile, his fiancée, who works in marketing, and his dad, who consults in the oil fields, are out of work. Every recession has winners and losers, says Julia Pollack, a labor economist with job site ZipRecruiter. But the juxtapositions caused by this economic shock have been extreme.
Job postings have fallen 47%. At the same time, it has caused sales and user growth to soar in some other businesses.
like grocery stores, e-commerce, and pharmaceuticals. And though big companies like Amazon and Walmart are hiring to meet increased demand, she says more businesses are just increasing hours for existing staff. But not all of them are getting paid more, says Jed Kolko, chief economist with job site Indeed.
It's one thing to want more hours, get more hours, and get paid for it. It's something else entirely to have to work more hours just to get your same job done for the same pay.
Like Carolyn Behrens, a middle school English teacher in Richmond, Virginia, who has revamped her curriculum for remote classes and switched to more one-on-one sessions with students with learning disabilities.
So I end up doing a lot more individually. It takes longer. It just takes longer.
She estimates she's working about 2 extra hours a day, but as an already overworked teacher, she stopped keeping track. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.